Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. In the more than dozen years that Peter Brownlee has led Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri, he's experienced a lot. Lawsuits, protests, a criminal indictment, and Attorney General of Kansas on a mission to wipe out abortion altogether. Brownlee persevered, and now as he announces his retirement, he's declaring victory, pointing out that Kansas government tried almost everything to shut down Planned Parenthood and failed. Peter Brownlee is our first guest today. A bit later this hour, we'll speak with the head of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and finally, our latest installment of 90 Mile View. But first up, Peter Brownlee, the outgoing head of Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri. And Peter, congratulations. Welcome to the studios.
Good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into when you came aboard back in 1999?
Well, I certainly knew that this is an area and was then an area in which the politics around family planning and abortion were tough. And so I expected challenges. But no, I didn't imagine it would get to the point that it did in the time I was here.
Well, where did you come from?
I moved here from Austin, Texas, where I directed an HIV/AIDS organization. Prior to that, I was CEO of two other Planned Parenthoods, one in Fort Worth, Texas, and the other in South Bend, Indiana.
I want to say that the heartland here is a little bit of a different place than Austin, Texas.
It is, no question. Although on a statewide level, Texas is making its effort, or the Texas legislature anyway, is making its effort to make things as difficult as the Kansas legislature is.
You know, Peter, to what extent did you get tired of all the fighting and the lawsuits and the indictments? I mean, that must have worn you out on some level at some point.
No question, it was quite stressful, tiring. To face criminal charges for providing a legal, well-accepted health service was very, very difficult and completely unexpected. It was a difficult time, and yet I knew and our board knew and our whole organization, our supporters knew that we had to prevail in that fight, that it was important to stop that kind of attack before it could spread.
You know, to what extent did your supporters here in Kansas and Missouri, and for that matter, the Planned Parenthood network nationwide, to what extent did they rally to the cause here, to what you were up against here in Kansas City?
They rallied tremendously. We got a great deal of support from all over the country. In fact, we established a legal defense fund and raised monies from major donors around the country to help us fend off this unwarranted attack.
In 2009, George Tiller was shot to death in his church. Tiller performed abortions down in the Wichita area. I'm wondering how that moment affected you, because you've said that you sometimes wore a bulletproof vest. Did you do that after the shooting or before the shooting as well?
Both.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dr. Tiller's assassination had a significant effect for me. I knew him personally, had known him for a long time, had great respect for the work that he did and the way in which he did it. It certainly caused all of us involved in providing reproductive health services to be concerned, to increase our security measures. There is risk involved in providing the kind of service we provide, and that made that risk very, very real.
I was going to say a risk. I mean, we're talking life and death here, Peter.
We are, yes.
Where were you when you got word that Dr. Tiller had been shot?
Well, actually, I was at home. It was a Sunday morning. I quickly learned about what had happened, went to my office, connected with other people in Planned Parenthood nationally, locally, had our security director with us to start, again, ratcheting up our security procedures and make sure that everyone's safe.
How did that killing affect you? How did it affect Peter Brownlee?
Well, besides the obvious grief and sadness to see a colleague fall that way, and a great deal of sadness for Jeannie, his wife, and his four kids who supported him and stood behind him, it made me angry. It made me angry that someone believed supposedly in defense of life that was okay to shoot a doctor and to kill him in his church. It made me angry that the rhetoric, the kinds of conversation that occurs around this issue gets so inflamed that somebody like Scott Roeder could feel it was okay to take the law in his hand.
Did part of you sort of think, you know, that maybe you saw it coming? That the rhetoric you just referred to had reached such sky-high, intensely white-hot levels that the whole thing somehow maybe seemed preordained?
Well, not really. I didn't see it coming. Dr. Tiller had been a target of a whole variety of kinds of harassment and he'd been shot previously. He'd been followed. I mean, but physicians who provide abortion services throughout the country face that as well, and six others have been shot and killed over the last 20 years.
It's the number six?
In addition to seven, including Dr. Tiller.
Tiller.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's a lot of people.
Yeah. And unconscionable.
The impact of his killing has been what on the entire sort of ongoing debate in this country? Have you noticed a change in the tenor, or maybe not really?
I don't think I've seen a significant change. A number of very radical opponents of abortion supported Mr. Roeder after the fact. Others have tried to distance themselves. But the kind of rhetoric that is so strident and full of vitriol and hatred still exists.
You know, you told Brad Cooper, you know, my colleague at The Star, who did a piece about your retirement just a few days ago, you know, you said to him that occasionally you looked in the rearview mirror as you were driving around town, heading home, going to work. You took different routes to work, as a matter of fact. Do you think you were followed? Do you have a sense that maybe you were being watched? Or do you not really know?
I was never aware of being followed in any sort of threatening and hostile sort of way. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But
I was always aware of the possibility.
But how far did you go when it came to changing your routes? What was your sort of tendency?
It was just sort of natural to change my route, to change the time and the actual route that I would take to get to my office.
That's amazing. Just amazing.
It's an unfortunate reality of the world in which I've been living for a long time.
We're visiting with Peter Brownlee, who's retiring as the head of Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri. If you want to join our conversation here, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at updatedate@kcur.org or tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. 2 years ago, Planned Parenthood dodged closure when a new state law imposed these new and very strict rules for abortion clinics. Peter, how close did all of that come to shutting down Planned Parenthood and the operation here?
There are two ways to answer that. From a timing perspective, it came very close. The legislature enacted the law in that session. The Department of Health, Kansas Department of Health and Environment, promulgated regulations with a very short time frame to comply. So we had to scramble to make sure that we did meet all of the requirements in those regulations. On the other hand, our surgical facility is already licensed as an ambulatory surgical center, so we had a lot of the pieces in place that were necessary. I never doubted we would be able to be licensed. It was just we had a very short time frame in which to make sure we had everything in place.
How close did it come to actual shutdown of getting the whole thing approved by the state?
Well, we literally received our license late afternoon, 4:30 or so, the day before the new law was to go into effect. It happened that the law was enjoined. Dr. Herb Hodes, Dr. Tracy Nauser challenged that law and succeeded in getting an injunction, which remains in place now. But it was down to the last minute.
Did you have a sense even the administrative arm of the state, in this case health and
Kansas Department of Health and Environment.
Health and Environment, that's right. Were they sort of working against you as well?
I don't think they were actively working to make it impossible for us. They were doing their best to implement a law that the legislature passed passed by legislators, many of whom have no background in medicine and no realistic notion of what it takes to provide surgical services. So, they were dealing with a short time frame themselves.
So, but it came down to just within a few hours, it sounds like.
It did. It was literally a few hours. We were not – we, in fact – chose not to make appointments for the day the law was going into effect because we did not know if we would have a license to operate that day.
You know, are there other Planned Parenthood clinics around the country that have been through the same amount of stuff that you've been through here in Kansas City? Do you have any sense of sort of a national context here?
I don't think anyone – well, first of all, I know that no Planned Parenthood has ever faced criminal charges. We are the first and only to have had a criminal indictment brought against us for providing abortion services. We've had, I think, a harder time in terms of external challenges than most other Planned Parenthoods around the country. It's been more sustained and extensive.
So in some senses, this has been ground zero for the movement, for the conflict inside the movement, right?
I think it has. I think Kansas for quite some time has been the epicenter of the cultural wars and wars around abortion, going back well before the Summer of Mercy, so-called, in 1991. That's why it's been so important that we do what we needed to do in order to prevail in these continued external attacks. It's really – I want to make the point that it's truly unfortunate that we have had to spend our time and money and energy in this kind of defense against attacks, because none of that accomplishes anything regarding actually reducing abortion, reducing the need for abortion. What Planned Parenthood does mostly with most of our time and money – is to provide services aimed at preventing unintended pregnancy, helping people live healthy lives, helping people decide when they want to have kids and to be able to act on those decisions. We prevent more abortions every year than anti-abortion groups collectively around the country.
Is that a goal of yours?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our goal is to assure that people can make their own decisions and then act on those decisions effectively. Our goal is to assure that people have kids when they want to and avoid getting pregnant when they don't want to be pregnant. And we devote the majority of our efforts to that.
And so going back the last decade, Peter, how much money have you guys spent on defending yourselves? How much money have you spent on lawyers and court costs and all of that stuff?
I don't have an exact tally because we've been very fortunate in getting some very generous donated legal services. Our lead criminal defense attorney, Pedro Irigonegaray from Topeka.
Met him before. Yeah.
Donated untold hours to assist us with this defense. There were times when he couldn't afford to do that because of the volume of time, and so we raised money to help mount this defense. We also got a lot of support from our national office, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, and from attorneys there. But so if I added up, if I could add up all of the hours donated or paid, it would be in the millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
Peter Brownlee, who led Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri, is our guest. He's retiring after about a dozen years of service. He was hired back in 1999. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888, and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Sherry from Blue Springs, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can
good morning,
you hear me?
Sherry. Yes, I can.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to your guest. I'm from Wichita and lived there during, I'm 48, lived there during a period of time when all this was going on with Dr. Tiller, and was a big supporter of Dr. Tiller, and of course was horrified when he was murdered. Are there any other, so again, just thank you, and for doing whatever you can, you know, to keep a woman's right to choose.
Thank you.
Are there any other third-term abortion providers that took over for Dr. Tiller in Kansas or anywhere else?
Well, there isn't anyone in Kansas providing what I would call abortion late in pregnancy. There are some physicians in Southern California. There's a physician practice in Albuquerque. There are a few on the East Coast.
And have they been targeted and picketed and all that stuff? Or
the folks in Albuquerque certainly have in the last year. And in fact, there's a ballot initiative, I believe, for in the city of Albuquerque to try to put in to try to stop the physicians there from providing that service. And let me just add.
Yeah, whatever happened? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me just add a word. You may very well know the vast majority of abortions are performed early in pregnancy. Typically, those that occur later in pregnancy occur because something very tragic has gone wrong with a pregnancy, frequently a very wanted pregnancy. So it's an unfortunate reality that that service needs to be available.
No, I totally agree. And I remember there was a speaker that came to St. Louis, and she was one of the doctors that performed them, like, up in South Dakota. But she did, like, a three-state area. Like, she was, like, the only doctor, because they had passed those crazy laws up there that just made it impossible, even for a first-term abortion.
Correct.
All right. Sherry, thank you for the call.
Well, whatever happened to Operation Rescue? I mean, are they still around? I mean, Randall Terry, where is he? I mean, is it just...
What about Operation Rescue? Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure where Randall Terry is at this point. Operation Rescue, I believe, is still headquartered in Wichita, but I know that they've been behind the protesting and some of the other activity in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Operation Rescue, as you exit the stage, Peter, Troy Newman, the president of Operation Rescue in Wichita, had this to say to the Star about your tenure. He said this: he has disguised himself as a warrior for the weak, but he's been a weapon against the weak. I say farewell. Your reaction to Troy Newman?
I don't really have a reaction. Everyone in this country has a right to their beliefs and a right to express their opinion about their beliefs. They have a right to vote and act on their beliefs. I have a great deal of respect for people who oppose abortion based on their religious beliefs, their ethical, moral beliefs, whatever. I equally respect those whose beliefs lead them to believe that abortion ought to be available under some or all circumstances. So what is important to me is that the only person who can really know what's best for them is the person who's faced with that decision. I haven't walked in her shoes. I don't know what's right for her. Only a woman in consult with her family, with her physician, with her faith, can make that decision. People like Troy Newman and organized groups that are seeking to make abortion unavailable are seeking to impose their beliefs on people, irregardless of other people's beliefs and rights, and I think that's wrong.
You know, as you exit the stage, Peter, after all of these years sort of toiling in this vineyard, do you see any any place for common ground, any place where anti-abortion and those who favor abortion rights can link arms and work together? Or does the battle sort of continue unabated here?
Two responses. First, there ought to be common ground, and the common ground ought to be around preventing unintended pregnancy, making sure people have access to birth control, good information that people understand how pregnancy occurs, how to avoid it when you don't want it, how to have it when you do, good sexuality education for young people as they grow up. We all ought to be able to agree on that as a way to reduce the number of abortions. Unfortunately, for varieties of reasons, that hasn't happened. I believe we, those of us who support the individual's right to make their own decisions, will ultimately prevail, as we have prevailed here in Kansas. But I think this fight will have to sort of play out over time. As there's no question that the cultural direction is in our favor. Almost everyone supports access to birth control. Almost everyone who is heterosexual uses or has used birth control at some time in their lives and think nothing of it. Almost everyone knows someone who's had an abortion and can accept that they've made that decision for themselves. The vast majority of Americans believe that abortion should not be outlawed and support Roe versus Wade remaining in place. So I think we're seeing a backlash against an inevitable direction that at some point, I hope in my lifetime, will result in a real community consensus that these are decisions best left to individuals and not to the state.
You know, and yet you look at the U.S. Supreme Court and the thinking seems to be that Roe versus Wade still sort of hangs on a very thin thread, which is one vote. It's still a 5-4 court on the whole question of Roe versus Wade. That's a pretty narrow ledge for Planned Parenthood and what you do to stand on, Peter.
Well, that's correct. And I don't want to minimize the risk or the battles that will continue. There will continue to be battles. There will continue to be some losses. People will get hurt. In the long run, we are fundamentally a moderate nation. Kansas is fundamentally a moderate state. At some point, we will come back to our moderate roots.
You think we will?
Yes, I really do believe that. When I talk to young people in their 20s and 30s, often what I hear is, what's the big fuss about? People believe that they have the right to make their own decisions and younger people in particular wonder why somebody's trying to get in their way.
A brief program note coming up today on Here and Now, we'll hear from the co-director of the documentary After Tiller, which goes into the lives of the last four doctors who openly perform third trimester abortions. Here and Now airs from noon to 2 here on KCUR. We received this question from a listener, Peter. Is there a relationship between the need for Planned Parenthood services and the lack of sex education classes in the state of Kansas?
Without a doubt. One major cause of unintended pregnancy is ignorance. We are faced in both states we serve. We serve provide services in Missouri and in Kansas. And in both states, legislatures have passed laws to try to restrict access to good medically accurate sexuality education. Mm-hmm. Education provides the means by which people can make decisions that are right for them. There's no benefit from withholding information.
Max from Kansas City, Missouri. Max, you're on with Peter Brownlee, retiring from Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri. Good morning.
Hi, again, I would like to thank you for your service. I know it's a very difficult field to serve in. I'm a physician. I'm a moderate on this issue. I do believe in some limitations on it. Mm-hmm. There are very few late-term abortions that I have seen that really did need to occur, even though I believe in the sanctity of life. The question I have is, these organizations, they want to preserve life, yet they use murder as an end to preserve it. But on the other hand, when this child is born, they don't want to educate it, provide daycare, provide health care, provide housing, food, anything for the child. And now they've established that using violence as a means to an end, which is never justified, is okay. So now are we justified or anyone else justified who disagrees with them in blowing up the rally saying, hey, look, you're going to take life, so we're going to preemptively strike against you? And why haven't they been classified as a terrorist organization? I can't think of any other activity on this planet where people organized in this kind of fashion systematically murder people who aren't considered terrorists. I don't understand that. So,
Max, thank you. Why aren't they classified as a terrorist organization, Peter?
Well, they are for me, and they are for some parts of law enforcement, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, all have joined together to investigate, to identify threats from organizations and individuals like we're talking about, and to try to prevent them from succeeding in their efforts. But no question, they are terroristic organizations and terroristic patterns. I consider it domestic terrorism.
We've discussed Phil Klein, the attorney general from Kansas, who really spent his entire 4 years sort of on a war against abortion in the state of Kansas. We've talked about the criminal case brought in 2007 that accused Planned Parenthood of performing illegal late-term abortions and falsifying and forging records. That case was tossed 5 years later out of the system, and Phil Klein is now gone from the scene. He recently lost his law license. The Kansas Supreme Court stripped him of his law license, Peter. That action stemmed from his handling of the abortion issue. What was your reaction to this news that Phil Klein actually was stripped of his law license in Kansas?
I thought it was a very just, and it was a matter of justice that action was taken. Mr. Klein misused his office, misused the power available to him, not for 4 years, but for 8 years, when he was Attorney General of the state of Kansas
and then
District Attorney in Johnson County. He used unethical methods to pursue his investigation. He was found to have misled courts, Supreme Court and district courts, the Kansas Supreme Court. He was found to mislead a jury, a grand jury, when an investigation was underway. So it was a classic instance of a couple of things. One, someone's political ideology motivating his actions rather than facts and law. And secondly, it represented the classic any means are justified to accomplish his end. He had a very strong belief that what we were doing was wrong, and he was going to try to find any evidence that he could to back that up, even if it meant inventing it.
Did you ever have any private words with Phil Klein during the course of your eight-year struggle with him?
Very few. I mean, pleasantries when we'd meet each other in court or in the hallways, but we'd never sat down and had a substantive conversation.
Russ from Kansas City, Missouri. Russ, you're on with Peter Brownlee. Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, it just occurs to me, well, it hasn't often occurred to me, that the popular support for family planning in any form is really not all that relevant. Constitutional grounds are vague, and the Supreme Court can keep interpreting it one way, then the other, then the other, then the other, to its collective heart's content. The Constitution is in place to prevent tyranny by the majority of a minority, and such being the case, it provides no real protection of anything based on popular support or lack of it. For instance, it's legal to carry a gun on your side in a lot of places, but a lot of places it freaks people out, and they try to enact laws against it, even though it's legal, because, well, it freaks them out, but too it's constitutional. So it really doesn't help that you have a lot of popular support. Something else needs to protect those rights.
Russ, thank you. Does he have a point?
Well, there's no question that the Constitution is there to protect the rights of minorities, minority opinion. In other words, that it's a part of the checks and balances in our government that if a majority of a legislature, of the Congress, enacts laws that violate the rights of a smaller group of people, it's the court's responsibility to rectify that. The fact is that laws and court decisions do follow our culture and public opinion. And as public opinion changes over time, laws follow. We're seeing that right now with the issue of gay marriage, for example, where, again, public opinion and sentiment have preceded legislative action and judicial action. Same thing has happened with regard to family planning.
Peter, just quickly, as you head out the door, what kind of shape is Planned Parenthood in, at least in this part of the country, your organization here?
We're in very good shape. We have a great team of staff, committed and dedicated, highly trained professional staff. We have a wonderful board. We have wonderful support throughout our community, throughout Kansas and Missouri, from donors and other supporters. The next person who takes my position will have a wonderful opportunity.
Peter, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed having you here.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.